Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country Matt Kemp. We have a special guest tonight, no stranger to the podcast, our NBA psycho lifer guru and longtime buddy of ours and great friend of the show, Mr. Eric Eichenberger. Ike is in the house tonight, and bellied up to the bar, the man who has been voted by a contingent of his peers as the most underrated man in all of podcasting. He is the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
I didn't get to vote on that.
Well, I figured you had my back on that one.
Well, I would. I'm just saying, I may have, I may not have. I just never even got a ballot, so.
The pod, and that comes from someone who just started podcasting.
I listed him on my vote as perfectly rated.
Oh.
Just for those, I mean, for full disclosure.
Understandable.
Perfectly rated.
I like that.
Wearing his...
it's a really nice way of saying...
Resplendent in his... Minnesota Timberwolves throwback jersey tonight.
Oh, a little tight. But yeah,
that is one
Garnett.
Of my favorite, like,
oh,
jerseys.
I love the tree, the evergreen trim.
Yeah.
I love
the Garnett T-Wolves jersey from the 90s, I guess that would be, the late 90s.
I love the trees on the trim there.
Yep.
That's always
classic.
One of my favorites.
Ike looking like Hollywood royalty over here in his...
Vegas.
Yeah, like a Vegas...
Silk.
Hawaiian-type shirt.
Can I tell you one thing about Ike's shirt?
What is that, velvet?
I know where I got that shirt because... I have the same exact shirt.
Oh, you do?
I do.
We got a few of those, Doug.
Yeah, and I have it in my closet. I was like, ooh, I like that shirt. And I'm like, I got one just like it.
God, that would have made my night if both of y'all showed up in that same shirt.
We probably will sometime. Chow wagon or something.
We are still in a less than optimal downstairs pub. The cleanup from the flood, as we have discussed on the last several episodes, is taking a little bit more time than what I had hoped. So we're doing the best we can with still being able to put the show out on time, and we've done a pretty good job with that. I'm looking forward to tonight to really get into the NBA playoffs a little bit more in-depth than what we have. But just want to remind everybody we're on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook. If you enjoy the show, as a matter of fact, I was talking with somebody last week who told me, and I need to do this, I haven't done this yet, sorry, Alan, Ryan, that he has turned his kids onto the show who live... one of them lives out in Portland. I can't remember where, but he was like, can you look up and see where people are listening from? And I said, I can. I haven't done that yet. I promise I will. But word of mouth helps us out a lot. And we appreciate if you would do that. Just let them know you can find us wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Portland, Oregon, or Portland, Louisville. We're there for you, baby.
That's right.
Oh, I forgot about Portland, Maine. Sorry about that to all our listeners.
In Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
We don't talk a lot about Maine athletics.
Cooper Flagg's the first athlete I've ever known to ever be from Maine.
Celtics minor league teams in Maine.
Oh, there you go.
The Claws.
There you go.
I like that. The Claws.
we wanted to get started tonight. This is a relatively football-centric podcast, typically, and one of the major, or the major, non-season events is taking place. That's tomorrow night, right? starts tomorrow night. Is that right?
The NFL draft.
Yeah.
It starts tomorrow night.
So the NFL draft starts tomorrow
from
night.
From Lambeau Field.
Lambeau.
Yep. And that'll be super cool. I actually have, we have friends of the show that are on their way to Green Bay this evening.
Oh, really?
As a matter of fact. Joanna and Steven are on their way up to
awesome.
Green Bay. And I'm sure, I don't think they're going specifically for the draft. They have family there. But I believe that they are going to attend at least one night of the draft.
I feel like
there.
If you're there, like
you
I
have
mean,
to,
Green
right?
Bay can't be that big
no,
of a town. You
no.
can just walk down to Lambeau and
right. And
check
I'd
it
imagine
out.
That the entire, not only the entire city of Green Bay, but most of the state is going to be there. And a lot of people are going to travel there just because a lot of people say, I always want to see Lambeau Field, and maybe you don't want to go watch a game when it's minus 30 degrees.
I'm going to be honest with you. The draft seems like such a weird event to attend. Like, what do you just get with your group of fans that like your team, and you buddy up with them in your jersey,
yeah,
and you just hang out and wait so you could cheer for a guy that you may or may not have heard of before. And then I think the whole environment would be cool. It's just like the people that show up for every day of it, you got to give those guys credit. Like round one would be kind of cool, but like if you're sitting there like getting hyped for your round six and seven draft picks and you're like, I don't know, man, I appreciate it. It's NFL fans though, dude.
Right.
They love it.
And I mean, if you really think about it, the mechanics of the draft, although on a much higher scale, it's still literally the thing they used to do from like the Sheridan Ballroom in Baltimore or whatever with 10 folding tables and a bunch of football helmet telephones. And now you have a quarter of a million people show up to watch it. Like what a masterful marketing job the NFL has done.
It's the only time that you can see Raiders fans be excited. So that's fun.
I think
they're excited right now, up and up in the Raider country.
I would think that a group of Raider fans are happy when they're like stomping on a Chargers fan in the parking lot outside of Allegiant Stadium,
or when they're circling with their team bus after they like they're driving around Arrowhead after they beat like you would have thought they won the Super Bowl doing laps around Arrowhead in their bus.
I've always thought they wanted to show the NBA who was boss, because the NBA always had the coolest draft.
I agree with
that.
But
it was a smaller thing. It was over with faster.
The
way they dressed up. But the NFL was like, nah, we're daddy, you know? but they weren't the originators of making it. But,
no,
but they
right.
definitely took it to another level that's amazing.
So, Tuna is probably the one of us that pays the closest attention to this stuff, the NFL draft and so forth. Why don't you give us some storylines to look for? Let us know who has the first few picks and what you expect to see tomorrow night.
Well, first off, like I think you guys know over like our previous years when we talked about the draft, like it's one of my favorite events, like just to watch. I love tracking it. I'm a big fan. This year just doesn't have the same electricity. I'm not as excited. Like I usually spend draft week like Freddie spends Derby week. Like just, I can't consume enough information. And there's not that transcendent like group of athletes that like I'm looking at where I'm like, they're going to be complete game changers when they get to these teams. And where you're going to see like progression of these teams. I guess the biggest thing that we're going to see in this draft that's going to be somewhat exciting is I think starting early tomorrow morning, maybe even late tonight, even into the draft, we're going to see some trades go on. And that's what I think you can look forward to the most. Like, there's rumors out there about the Ravens trading Mark Andrews away. There's rumors out there of the Bengals trading Trey Hendricks away. You know, some of this stuff has to be done, and what better time to do it than now to get your draft picks and move forward. And then you're going to see teams be like, all right, I really want this guy. I need to jockey for position to get up and down and so on. I think the first pick is That's pretty much, we know what it is. Cam Ward's going to the Titans. When you go out in public and state that Treylon Burks is a top five receiver in the NFL, you're not saying that because you actually think that. You're saying that because you're going to be his teammate.
Right.
So that's pretty much a done deal. And then pick two. This is where it could get a little tricky. We got the Cleveland Browns in here. Cleveland has made it clear that they are not interested in drafting a quarterback early. That doesn't mean they couldn't take one early second round. There's been rumors of the Cowboys looking to trade up to get the second pick. Don't really know. Right now, I think a lot of mock drafts have them taking Travis Hunter. And I have a little bit of an issue. I think Travis Hunter's an incredible athlete. I think for the Browns, it's not good. With Travis Hunter, I don't think you're getting a top five receiver and you're not getting a top five cornerback. I think you're getting just a guy that's a football player.
Right.
And I'm not sure that the Browns can do that right now. I think the Browns' smartest move, if they don't trade out of it, if they actually draft the second pick, is to take Abdul Carter. Because you could have Myles Garrett on one end and Abdul Carter on the opposite end, and that becomes mayhem. Like, I don't know how you block that.
Right.
That could be a game changer, and I think that's the smartest move for Cleveland. We know Cleveland doesn't do a lot of smart moves, so I'm not sure what's going to go on there.
I mean, that's the understatement of the podcast right there.
Yeah, and then following them up is the third pick, which is another team that doesn't really make the best decisions, and that is the New York Giants.
Sorry, Colin.
Yeah, well, he knows. He's close enough to the organization. I think we all got shown on the Hard Knocks offseason, like what really goes on behind the scenes up there.
Yeah.
But call me an idiot, maybe, but I still think that Brian Daboll is a good coach. I think he's fighting a bad organization. So they're going to take either which one didn't go.
We all want him to be good, really bad. I think that's a big part of it. Like, I want that guy to be good.
Well, the thing is, like, everybody keeps talking about him, like, he's the quarterback whisperer. He's the quarterback whispererer. Well, who's he been whispering to in New York? Like,
that's right.
I mean, I get what he did up in Buffalo and all that. Like, but come on, man. Like, we got to do something down here. Danny Dimes and I don't know. It's a mess down there. But so they're probably going to take either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, whichever one's sitting there. And then we get into a mess of players that I just do not. I don't know. Like, we got a lot of offensive linemen in this draft that people tell me are good, and I just don't think they're good. I think the biggest depth in this draft is tight ends, which there's a ton of them that could come in and contribute within like 2-3 years. And then you got a bunch of running backs in this class. Like, there's probably 25 running backs that could make active rosters. You know, I mean, there's a lot of depth at running back. I'm not sure. I think the Patriots are sitting there at 4. Offensive lineman, which they need, but I mean, they're talking Will Campbell from LSU, I guess. I'd take him over either of those two guys from Texas. And then you're looking at Jacksonville in there at the 5th. I'd say a majority of the mock drafts have them taking Ashton Jeanty, which does not make sense to me. When you have, you know, ETN and Tank Bigsby down there, they could probably trade this away. There's been rumors of the Bears trading up to take that. And I think the Bears and Ashton Jeanty are a great fit. I don't know if you actually need to trade up to get that. But other than that, man, I mean, there's not a lot of big – I think if we're going to go into quarterbacks, you got Cam Ward. I think he's, you know, separates himself from everybody else. And then Shedeur Sanders – has the potential to be that green room guy this year. There's always the guy in the green room where they're expected to go in that first round.
The Aaron Rodgers Memorial
pick. Late, whatever. He has a chance to be wearing I hope he brought two suits to Green Bay just to cover his ass, because he might be sitting there until...
Well, if someone's going to be there with him to hang out with...
Until Friday. Well, I don't know. Travis may be with his new team already.
Well, Jalen Milroe was told everyone that because he went last year with one of the Bama players, he's going this year, and he knows he's probably not going to be taking the first round, but he's going to be in that room.
Yeah, he might be there for 3 days.
Maybe.
But
and you know,
you never really know. But like, I've heard that there's interest from Mike Tomlin and Shedeur Sanders. So I don't know. Like I was telling you guys outside, NFL teams right now, there's more posturing going on than anything. You'll hear anonymous coaches bash guys. You'll hear anonymous coaches praise guys. Like these teams want this information leaked. Like they're calling up Todd McShay and Adam Scheffler, and they're like, "Hey, get this out to the public."
Adam Scheffler, is that Scotty's brother?
Yes, yes, yeah.
That was a Freddy slip of the tongue right there.
Scotty is probably a better insider. But he
knows what goes on in the drunk tank, that's for sure.
anyway, they...
in Louisville, at least.
Scotty?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what was going on with Adam, so...
No.
Whatever. I'm not here to judge. I don't know. I mean, we could see Shedeur going in the next, you know, day two or whatever. A lot of people are saying, you know, Jackson Dart or even Tyler Shuck could bypass him.
Yeah,
and
they
jump
could both,
up.
They could be the number, either one of those guys. But you and I agree on Cam.
Well, I think everybody
I think everybody agrees on Cam.
That's happening.
Yeah, he probably has the highest ceiling of any of these dudes out here. But, like, I don't know if he's going to come in and be ready right away. But either way.
Who are the Colts going to take with their first pick?
What are the Colts sitting at? What pick? 14. Let me see. Nicky Mawori, the safety from South Carolina, SEC guy. But we don't know. I mean, the Colts could go numerous directions here. I could see the Colts going after one of these tight ends available, because I think we may have four tight ends taken in the first round
there
of this
seems
draft,
to
which
be,
is insane.
There seems but to be a lot of noise around them picking a tight end.
Yeah,
early.
I think that makes a sense. Like, that's probably the deepest position, well, aside from running back. But, like, tight ends, the thing is, when you draft a tight ends probably have the hardest time acclimating to the NFL. They probably start really being productive their second and third years.
Right.
Now, our guy out there at Bowers, he was just a freak.
Well, yeah,
so, like, that doesn't happen.
That's a different
And then
deal.
Sam LaPorta had a wonderful rookie
Bowers
year.
Where did Bowers go?
Bowers went, he was, like, I think 12, 13 or something like that.
Okay.
I mean, he got
someone that has that much, you know, he's that good. Mm-hmm. There's no bad marks on him. He scored 10, 12 touchdowns this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was the leading receiver.
I know some teams need needs, but I would say there's about seven teams that blew it.
Yeah. No,
and I don't understand how you can blow it. Mm-hmm. Unless you need like an offensive lineman, that is the number one thing you have to have in the first five picks.
Well, keep
but
in mind, last year four quarterbacks went in the top 10.
Right, four, I get it.
So that took up several spots in the top 10.
True, but I still think, how does a team that needed someone like that, that doesn't or maybe doesn't even have a diehard need, how do they just skip on him?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, unless like. Edge rushers and defensive linemen always seem to go, like, take priority in draft.
Now, in all honesty, the kid from Notre Dame the year before went early, and he got his job taken by.
I think Michael Mayer was a second-round pick.
Oh, was he second?
Second or third,
okay.
I thought. Yeah.
Okay.
But Michael Mayer, and, like, we looked at Michael Mayer, and we were like, all right, this guy's like a – he can do it all as a tight end, but he's not elite at anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? He was not an elite receiver. He couldn't, like, you know, get open
in
the NFL on a regular
basis.
He
did have that injury that they were worried about.
He did. He was coming off of that knee issue or whatever.
Knee issue from
the
SEC championship.
Yeah. But he, you knew what you were getting with Brock. Like, that guy was he was going to be good from day one.
Dude, he's
good. And in the way, like I said, the year before, Sam LaPorta came in and had that wonderful rookie year. And, like, Pat Freiermuth had a good rookie year. Right. So, like, there's guys that come in and contribute right away. I think there's probably four guys that can go in the first round and maybe contribute, you know, maybe not like Brock Bowers, but, like, you know, at a high level. Tyler Warren, obviously, from Penn State, that guy. You watch Penn State, and he was – really their only offensive weapon except from that running back. They had the two little running backs.
Yeah.
But he was head and shoulders above everybody when he played. And that Colton Loveland, everybody's got him, the kid from Michigan. But I don't know. I didn't really see flashes from him watching Michigan that where I'm like, this guy's a immediate impact guy. But you know what? People smarter than me say he is, so I got to trust them. Other than that, man, I can't, like, you guys got any questions on anything? Like, cause I can't see where this is that, like, people have said, this is a draft where it's starters, not stars. I've heard that from several different people and it makes sense. You know what I mean? You can get a whole lot of good players and there's going to be guys that we don't really even know, late round picks that come in and,
sure.
So,
is there a team? I know you mentioned the Cowboys before as a possible team that might want to trade to move up.
Mm.
Are there other teams out there that there's any sort of noise? I know they usually want to keep that quiet till draft night, but has there been any sort of chatter going around about any other teams that are looking to maybe trade up?
No, like I was saying, I think the Bears maybe to make a play on Jonty or Ashton Jeanty, however you want to say his name. The Bears could make a play on that. I don't think I would trade up in this draft to get a running back because of how good or how deep they are at running back.
Right.
Omarion Hampton's a good running back. Really, he's a great running back. But you never really know what running backs like. I've always go back to it. The Chiefs got Isaiah Pacheco in the 7th round.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, running backs can come in and make an immediate impact. And, but if you look at this, like, it's skill positions, the wide receiver position is not there. Like, we've seen the progression of, like, 7-on-7 and, like, how we've had – it's created a world where you get all these wide receivers. Like, they just – they're coming in waves, you know, all these super talented wide receivers, because that's what they're learning from a young age on. And this class is probably the weakest wide receiver class that I can remember. And I may eat my words on this. There may be tons of guys come out where you're like, oh, crap, okay. They've got, you know, Tet McMillan from Arizona rated, you know, the top one. I would probably say – you know, Matthew Golden, the kid from Texas, is up there.
They say he's the best receiver, right?
Well, he's the fastest.
Him and the dude from Arizona.
Yeah, Tet McMillan, him. And then Luther Burden, there's been a lot of talk about some red flags with him.
Really?
Yeah, I don't really know.
Short? Too short?
No, it's
off-field stuff.
He kind of reminds me of Chase a little bit.
A lot of people compare him to Debo, and I don't really see that.
I don't either.
I think my favorite one that's this draft.
What about the other wide receiver from Missouri? I heard, don't they have a second wide receiver that's pretty damn good? That's shooting up the boards a little bit.
I've got nobody ranked in the top 200 from Missouri. But my favorite one is probably Emeka Ebuka from Ohio State. He, if you look at who he's played with, he's kind of been like an unsung guy at Ohio State.
Right.
But, like, they've moved him around every position a receiver could play. He's played outside. He's played slot, you know, all over the place. And this guy knows how to run just about any route you give to him. I think he could come in and be like a Ladd McConkey right away. You know, like, he could be an immediate guy. He probably doesn't have the highest ceiling of anyone, but – I think he could contribute a rookie of the year, and probably you might be able to get decent odds on him to get rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year, depending on. So that's something to look at. But other than that, man, I can't tell you anything about these two guys from Iowa State.
I was reading a little bit about them earlier today.
Yeah, I know. What was it, Higgins or Noel? that got hurt before the playoffs, before the Big 12 championship game.
Right.
I forget which one it was, but like, there's nothing about any of those guys that stood out to me. So, I don't know. It's just a weird that when you look at this, like, I don't know if there's any receiver that's really first round worthy in this draft, you know, which is like, when's the last time we could say that?
Right.
There's no immediate game changer in this draft. So, what's up?
I think sometimes teams just feel like they need to bring in some sexy, though, so it'll end up happening no matter what.
It probably will.
You know, when everybody's standing there and you keep drafting linemen or stuff like that, it's just them fans.
Yeah.
And that's not what really should matter, but it ends up happening like that.
Well, don't you think a lot of times, like, it's – well, and it is, because those are the teams that have the best picks. It's the awful teams that make the splash picks, and the good teams – get to just fill in the holes with really good, solid players.
Yep.
You know, your offensive lineman, your defensive lineman, maybe a safety or something like that. But if you're a bad team, you have to kind of roll the dice and try to get these big names just to maybe excite your fan base a little bit more.
I'm going to tell you, like, I mean, when you go down this running back list, I mean, you get down to 10 or 11 before you hit Damian Martinez in a lot of rankings. And to me, he's probably my second or third favorite running back in this draft. You watch what he did at Oregon State and what he did at Miami last year. The kid's got breakaway speed. He's small. He's compact. He's a, you know, just thick as can be. He's got that explosive step in him. I love Damian Martinez. You know, Bashaul Tootin's right there, the kid from Virginia Tech. I know a lot of people didn't watch a lot of ACC football last year, he was a heck of a running back, man. And then, you know, down you get to like 12 and 13, and our boy Cam Scatterboo's down there.
I was just about to ask you where, like, and I don't know if you've done any, like, digging on the teams that he's maybe interviewed with. Or where he, because I am very interested in where he ends up.
Yeah, I think when it gets to the third round, and which is going to be high for him, I think most people have him as, like, you know, four or five, whatever. If Jim Harbaugh, not John, Jim Harbaugh is sitting there, there's no way he lets him get past him in the third round.
No.
Like, that's a guy that, like, I think Jim Harbaugh would just, like, stay at his house overnight just to talk football with him. And, like, you know what I mean? He would creep that guy out. But I think that's the perfect marriage for him. And
gosh, I hadn't thought about that. That's almost too perfect. Mm-hmm.
And now keep in mind, like, this is how deep this is. Remember going into the off season when everybody was like, Ollie Gordon, best running back in college, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think he's down here at, 18th ranked running back in this class?
Wow.
And that's what I'm saying. You've got Dylan Sampson, the kid from Tennessee, like right above him. Yeah. DJ Giddens, Kansas State, right above him. I mean, it's just, it's a loaded class. RJ Harvey from UCF. Trevor Etienne from Georgia. He's below all of them. Wow. So it's, there's 25 guys on this list that are going to make an NFL roster, which is...
Man, that is crazy.
If you think, like, there's going to be probably 25 guys drafted in a seventh-round draft.
Yeah.
You know, seventh-round draft.
Yeah, and that's crazy.
Yeah. I guess when you're not taking a bunch of receivers, you're going to go running back. There's really no quarterbacks in this that are, you know, like I mentioned, those top four, but I'm going to tell you some sleeper quarterbacks. Like, I think Will Howard could come in and play, not immediately, but, like, he could be something down the road. Like, people forget how good he was and what he was asked to do at Ohio State. And from my understanding, I think he played a little banged up for a lot of the year. So I like Jackson Dart. I'm not sure that Quinn Ewers can be much. Kyle McCord is a guy. he went, you know, he was at Ohio State, did good. They replaced him. He went up to Syracuse and was the, you know, I think first team all ACC.
Yeah.
Out of Syracuse. So that's a guy. You got Dylan Gabriel, a Heisman finalist. He's kind of small. I'm not sure that he's going to do much. I say he's small, but he's 205 at 5'11". The height might be an issue for him.
Right.
Is
Curtis Rourke a possible final round draft pick to try to make a team or to be a backup or a potential backup for a team?
I know his cumulative average right now of all the available players to draft is 344.
Okay.
I think he is down around the 15th, 16th quarterback. So, but all it takes is somebody to, you know, one team to like somebody.
Right.
And draft them. You know what I mean?
But
so
he's more likely to end up on a team as a undrafted free agent.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I'll tell you right now, like several spots above him is Riley Leonard.
Yeah.
And I think that Curtis Rourke is a more NFL ready running back, or his style of play fits better in the NFL than Riley Leonard.
I also think that I don't want this to devolve into a last round potential guy, but I also think that teams are going to take notice of the fact that and a lot of people probably don't realize this, that Curtis Rourke played the entire last season on a partially torn ACL.
Mm.
And
it might have been why he looked so scared against Ohio State.
Well, I think his lack of relative mobility, mm-hmm. and not wanting to get hit, which we didn't find any. And he also his thumb never really recovered fully from the game against Nebraska when he tore the thumbnail off and had to get screws put in it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But just from a football IQ type of thing, and like I could see him latching on somewhere and being a backup for a long time.
Yeah, probably so. Clipboard guy. You make a lot of money doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I don't know if I mentioned Quinn Ewers yet. I think his smartest move that he could have made was to go back to college, transfer somewhere, make a few million dollars.
Yeah.
And then maybe. Probably. I'm not sure the NFL was ever his cup of tea.
Right.
But it is what it is, man. He stuck with it, and he's staying in it. So his dream will come true this weekend. Maybe.
I think Trayvon Henderson, I think he could be a good sleeper.
Out of the running backs?
The way that he broke out of some of those runs with a decent offensive line. And, of course, I'm high on Malachi Moore. I think he's a better player than 200, 250 range. But we'll see. That's just me talking with my heart a little bit.
I like him better than Judkins.
And Gelati and
Ashton Gelati.
Gelati and your other
Quincy
guy,
Riley.
Quincy Riley will do well.
Yeah, I think Riley might. I think some teams are looking at him in like the third round, maybe fourth. Ashton Gelati somewhere around fourth or fifth.
Where's Fish McWilliams at? That's what I want.
I'd take that kid number one if it was up to me.
I don't want any of these kids to fail.
Which, by the way,
I make fun of Isaiah Bond. Bond and Jalen Milroe, and I hope Milroe gets drafted. I hope he has the day of his life, and he's a good kid. I know I give him a lot of static, but
had some amazing games. Yeah, like, you got to admit,
he did.
But he had some really bad games.
Right.
But, like, and you could say Tyler Shuck, go
look
at the Stanford game.
And the offensive coordinator in some of those games was definitely questionable. And
my last question for you, Tuna, if you had to pick, who's going to be the second quarterback taken in this draft, who is it going to be?
I am going to say Jackson Dart.
Okay.
I think Jackson Dart, in my opinion, I think Jackson Dart could be the best quarterback in this draft early. Like, he could come in and make an impact early somewhere. I don't know if he's going to get the opportunity to go somewhere early. And something else is a little bit of a bummer. We used to be able to sit here and bet on drafts, like who's going to go where, what picks. For whatever reason, it's not available in the state of Kentucky.
Is that right?
You can drive across the bridge in Benton, Indiana on who you want to bet. There's a couple things that we can't bet on in Kentucky, like slapping. You can't bet on power slap in Kentucky. But you can go to Indiana and bet on power slap on the same sports book. It's just Kentucky, it's not sanctioned. Indiana.
Wow.
This is new because last year we bet on the NFL. I know I bet on the NFL draft.
I wonder how that is regulated and how it's decided. I did not realize that
we've
that
got
was a
thing. Sports gaming commission in the state, and I guess they decided against it. So if it was up to me, I would go down there, and I may still go. I may go down there and hold a sign up and just sit on the front porch of wherever I can and be like, I want to bet on slapping and drafting and see if I can get on the news. Start a revolution.
That just seems so kind of arbitrary,
yeah.
Like deciding on what you can bet on.
We can bet on highlight.
Well, can I go with my quarterback that I think is going to be second?
Please.
I want to say Kyle McCord in a shot in a surprising
turn of
events.
I would love that.
Event.
I think it'd be a smart move.
But I think Tyler Shuck is going to go second. Louisville.
I love it. I just hope it's not to the Cleveland
Browns.
But
I do think you're right. Jackson Dart looks pretty strong.
I'd say. I think he has, like, all the tools that that Tyler Shuck has, minus the injury history and a few years younger. So, that's where I'd go with that. But, yeah, I'd say, again, when you're watching this draft, expect a lot of tight ends, a lot of terrible offensive linemen, and a lot of running backs to go in this draft.
Well, I can't wait. That's the thing. Like, honestly, and I'm not a draft aficionado like you are, Tuna, but I still find myself like planted in front of the television.
Yeah.
I'll have it at least on one screen while I'm watching the NBA or something else. How stupid is that? You're transfixed by a guy reading it out of an envelope.
It's like you could be up doing something or whatever, and you hear that, when the pick's in, it's like, pick is in, and you're like, oh, and you run over to the TV to see what's going on. And it's,
absolutely.
No, but they, like I said, man, they made a spectacle out of it, and they made it a big entertainment show, and it's like watching the Oscars or something,
yeah,
but for
really
college
is.
Football players. So
yep.
They have
really
bands
is.
Play. It's a full-on presentation, man, and to watch, see it at Lambeau Field, is going to be kind of awesome.
That'll
that scene there
neat.
Is going to be really neat.
Yep.
So
yep.
They need to have it in Indianapolis one year. Cause I kind of, like I joked about it. Like it's kind of it'd be weird to go to, like it's a weird sporting event to go to, but I could see myself just being in there surrounded by Chiefs fans and just, you know, with my face painted or something. I mean,
yeah, they get the combine and they got the NBA. What'd they get?
All-Star game.
Yeah.
That was big time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all know that Indianapolis puts on large events like that as well as any city in the country. So, but I think probably because they have the combine, they want to mix it out to different places a little bit more. But it will be awesome being in Lambeau. Like, little old Green Bay, but right out there in Lambeau, in that neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
like, I mean, and you know that ESPN and NFL Network are going to make it look great on TV.
Oh, yeah.
So
definitely.
Anybody have any final thoughts on the NFL draft before we move on? Fred?
Dude, Roll Tide. I hope all my Bama boys, I thought my UK boys, my Louisville boys all get drafted, have great parties, and have great careers. I really, you know, that's, and dude, I love the draft. I love turning it on. Tomorrow night I'll have it on outside, and the excitement of it, like Tuna said, it's gotten better and better in my opinion. It has my attention more than it did when it was on. Another problem was it was on Derby Day.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying?
It's
it was
been
something
on Thunder over Louisville. It's
right.
been on Derby Day.
Yeah, so it's kind of, I love it being on a Thursday prime time. Mm. Everybody's got something to look forward to. It's going to be fun. And hey, another thing, I don't know if we talked about this. There's going to be some trades.
That's what I'm saying. That's the first thing I mentioned.
And
that's going to be the most exciting thing about
and
this draft.
Devontae to the Dolphins for Jalen Ramsey. Are you hearing this? To the Eagles?
Yes, I've kind of heard
Tua,
that.
Tua, Waddle, and Devontae down there in Miami.
Yeah, we know Mike McDaniels likes to get speed.
Well, you know what Miami needs? They need some
toughness.
That toughness, and Devontae has that. Mm. I'm not quite sure about anyone else.
I think
else.
The more time you spend in South Beach, the toughness just kind of wears away.
It does.
You know, Larry Zonka isn't walking through that door
no.
anymore, so like
but
it's a little different.
But Devontae's,
I was gonna say, you had to be pretty tough to live in Miami in the 1970s
yeah, it's
and 80s.
A different world
but
now,
I think
baby.
It's a little bit different.
Yeah,
now.
Schnellenberger and Zonka aren't coming around.
But Devontae Smith's always been, in my opinion, the toughest. Besides maybe future Hall of Famer from the Titans. Why am I having
AJ Brown?
No,
by
from
who?
Bama.
Future Hall of Famer for the Titans.
Yeah.
Calvin Ridley?
No.
Like, I don't know who's playing for Tennessee that came from Bama.
That's a potential future Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
Yeah, I read an article that said he was heading to the... That he'll end up being... Why am I having a brain fart?
I don't know.
Julio
Jones
is
Atlanta.
Julio Jones. Yeah, but didn't he go to – final seasons were with the Titans.
Oh,
right?
Was it? See, I don't even remember those years.
Anyways, yeah. I always thought Devontae Smith was the hardest. And now that he's in Philly, the skinny dude is tougher nails, and that's something Miami
the deer,
needs.
Man.
Do you have any – is Indy doing any trades, Travis, that you're aware of?
I have no idea.
Are the Chiefs doing any trades?
No, this is probably going to be the boringest draft ever for the Chiefs. I think we're going to take use every draft pick on an offensive lineman and one tight end.
Okay. Ike, who are we getting? We need – the Bengals need what?
Tuna made a reference who's kind of – they're talking about trading.
Yeah, your defensive end. What was it?
Yeah,
who's
in talks?
Trey Hendrickson.
Contract talks.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's going to have to get traded because they
yeah,
already.
Yeah, no, that's what you said.
They,
yeah,
they
I
mentioned
got you.
They're not going to pay him. Well, they haven't said that, but that's what the rumor is. So they've tried over and over again. I think it's not happening.
No,
when you're
not,
paying two receivers,
like
what you're paying them, you can't really sign.
They're not happy.
A top level. Defender like that, and that's kind of what sucks. You just can't keep guys together in the NFL.
Just get us someone that can snipe some gasoline. Okay.
Yeah, you get plenty of that. So,
if he doesn't know how to do it now, he will after
he will
a month
in the
Cincinnati.
Queen City. That's
but,
right.
I just want to say, like, the coolest thing about the draft, and it's the NBA draft, it's all these drafts, and this is my favorite part about draft night, is to watch these, like, 20 to 24-year-old guys, like, their dream, like every kid is the dream about playing professional sports, and that's like their moment where they get to walk across the stage, hold their jersey up. I just think that's cool as shit, man. It's one of my favorite things to watch. So,
and to hear Jihad Campbell's name called out, I can't.
What was the quote that he said? Tell me that he was telling me outside.
Oh, Jihad Campbell, they interviewed him and said, well, you had one of the greatest hits of the whole season in college football. You took Jackson Dart and popped his helmet off. How did you feel when that play happened? He goes, man, you know when you go to the movie theater and you get a big old bowl of popcorn with butter all in it and everything, and you're watching your favorite movie and you're in the front row? That's what it felt like.
Excellent awesome. Quote, man. That's like, awesome. I would draft, like, Andy Reid may try to trade up and draft
yeah,
that guy
and,
just
yeah.
for that comment.
And then they ask him who he wanted to hit in the NFL, and he goes, well, the first person I want to hit is Lamar Jackson. I'm like, well, good luck.
Good luck
buddy.
With that, sir. Everybody, people have been in the league for 10 years trying to hit him still.
But he also did say Jackson Dart was by far the best quarterback that they played against, for sure. So he gave him some good props, too.
Well, that's awesome. Cannot wait for the NFL draft tomorrow night. This episode will be out a few hours before that. Hopefully you listen to it and get a little bit of insight going into the draft.
Luckily, I didn't make any bold predictions. It would make me look stupid like an hour after they listened to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Great rundown, Tuna.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome. Since we do have our special guest, Mr. Eric Eichenberger, Mr. Ike here in the downstairs pub tonight, and we are in the middle of the first round of the NBA playoffs. I feel like it is time to jump in to the playoffs. I'm going to start, Ike, because you reached out to me yesterday, and said that you'd like to come on, not just to talk about the NBA playoffs, and I want you to get into all the series, but you specifically said you wanted to come on and talk about the Pacers. Well, I couldn't turn that down. I'm just going to say a couple things just really quick, and then I want you to go in the direction you want to go in. Two things right off the top that I've enjoyed so much about this particular series is that the Pacers and the Bucks despise each other. It reminds me of like a 90s type of series where there's chirping and there's pushing and they're shoving and nobody's hugging after the games or, you know, shaking hands or, you know, slapping fives or anything. The fans despise each other. The players don't like each other. And last season, you know, what they like, familiarity breeds contempt is what they say. So they're obviously in the same division, in the same conference. And then the Pacers knocked them out of the playoffs last year in a series that not just a lot of fans, but a lot of national NBA media guys, well, you know, the Bucks were coming in injured, and you have to put an asterisk by the Pacers beating them and blah, blah, blah. And maybe that was true. But I think that the Pacers have used that as kind of a little bit of a chip on their shoulder from the standpoint where they say, okay, well, I mean, I know Lillard, it wasn't healthy for game one. He came back in game two, wasn't much of a factor. But I think the Pacers use that kind of disrespect chip on their shoulder to the extent that I think it's really worked for them. The crowds have been great, and the Pacers pretty much have not trailed in the first two games. I think they were down in game one at the very beginning of the game. I know they didn't trail last night. They're up 2-0 going to Milwaukee on Friday night. Ike, I would love to hear your thoughts, and we'll go back and forth, I'm sure, a little bit on the Pacers, but I'd love to get your thoughts on what you've seen so far from them.
I always watch the Pacers because I think the way our YouTube's set up and everything, it's right there for me, so I can watch the end of it, even if I'm just watching the fourth quarter. But this series particular, I love that you got matched up with the Bucks because, you know, I have my weird issues with Doc Rivers.
Right, you know right.
you know, he just keeps getting jobs and he does just enough and he talks well enough. But, dude, he's got a squad. But the other night when they were talking crap to Lillard, and Lillard ain't got nothing for these guys, man. I'm telling you. Lillard is just a shooter. I mean, he plays no defense.
Right. He don't have seem to have his legs either.
And it's the Eastern Conference, you know. This ain't Portland, dog.
Right.
And when I watch the Pacers, I just see a confident team. I mean, Halliburton got that funny looking shot, but it just bam. I mean,
it is a man. It's such a. And, I mean, I've been watching him now, obviously, for a few years. And I love to watch him play. But every time he shoots that, I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, yeah, that's just how he shoots.
Yeah, it's like a little kid shot.
Yeah,
almost.
He shoots it from his waist.
But if you think about it, Steph doesn't really shoot a perfect shot to where he shoots it from. It's just so pretty when he shoots it, if that makes any sense. I mean, he kind of shoots from his mid-level and stuff, too.
Right.
And guys like... that played for the Celtics that you got? Is it Nesmith? Is that how you say his last name?
Nesbitt?
He got lost in the shuffle with Tatum and Brown. But, man, that guy can play. He's athletic. Obviously, Siakam. I mean, he's getting his due, man. I just love this team, man. I mean – I don't dislike Milwaukee. I kind of pulled for the freak and stuff and everything, but the way Doc Rivers got that job and everything, I thought that was some weasel stuff, man. You know, he pushed Adrian Green out, which, by the way, played for the Celtics for a while. And
that's so weird. I don't understand. I asked these guys, Ike, maybe you can tell me, why in the NBA do they fire coaches that win?
I think right now what's going on, and this is just my opinion, I got a couple things I was going to talk about. These billionaires are really getting – they're so out of touch.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get a little butt hurt or whatever, I'll just fire you right now. I mean, we never have seen anything like this. I'm not saying Malone didn't rub some players wrong in Denver and stuff. I've heard the stories. Mm-hmm. He's a hothead and stuff. But he's got a championship ring. And they might still do good. I'm not saying they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. That was just very unprofessional. I'm going to ask you after I talk about this.
Did the Magic do the same thing and they're in the playoffs, right? Didn't they fire their?
No.
They didn't. Okay.
No, it was
the Magic. It was
the Nuggets and the Grizzlies.
Grizzlies, that's who it is. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm mixing them up.
And you know, last time I was on here, I was talking about, I'm going a different direction here, but about how the Luka trade and stuff, and I said the casinos and the new owners, and that was true and stuff. But I'm starting to hear from pretty good sources that he just wasn't playing ball with the new owners, you know. I mean, he kind of likes to drink his beer. He liked Mark Cuban before. And like I said, he's billionaires. But did you notice how it went down with Nico, the GM? They just pushed him out there and made him say, because they made the decision for him to go. They didn't want him. Mm. But Nico's out there saying,
I didn't know
he was that popular in Dallas.
I didn't know that many people liked him. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Plus, he's got that kind of broken, you know, so he doesn't seem as confident when he talks.
And now, is he the one that grabbed the beer out of Luca's hands last year?
I remember the celebration thing?
Like,
I've seen the clip. Yeah. I don't know if it was him. See, he was I was listening to, like, Gilbert Arenas' podcast. They were saying he worked for Nike before, and he was Kobe's guy and stuff. So, he's always kind of got jobs and stuff, but he totes that company line to keep – because really, man – they're really saying that the owners just wanted to, and you know, you're only getting Anthony Davis back. I mean, you don't try to get, you know, Reeves or something, you know, but they didn't. They just pushed him out. On a lighter note,
does Cuban still own them by themselves?
Well, he had that, remember we talked about it, he had that little J.R. Ewing stuff and everything in the office.
I know.
And he was going through a divorce where he needed to hide some money.
I just wish it would have, that he was still there.
Well, yeah. On a lighter note,
I like how you phrase it, little J.R. Ewing. How you doing?
Yeah. Hey, girl, get on over here. What about Minnesota's coach, man? I mean, you know he has to be a good coach because he looks like Dumb and Dumber Jeff Daniels.
Is it still Flip Saunders?
He's a funny interview.
But I'm saying he's got a belly on him, and he's just smiling all the time like he just – you know, smoke one or something.
Yeah,
Dumb and Dumber,
I love listening to his press conferences at the end after the game. He's hilarious.
But, yeah, he is a likable dude.
It's like he does.
I want the Lakers to win, and I'd love to see a Celtics-Lakers again, obviously, play LeBron and beat – but I don't think they're going to make it. I don't know if they're going to make it through this series.
No.
Yeah, I'd like to see Minnesota get past that.
I would too, but then again, the old school in me would like to see the Lakers, but I don't think even if the Lakers somehow got through this,
they're going
to make it all the way to the championship.
Minnesota sports fans deserve some bit of success more than I think a lot of people right now. Like, it's just been bad for a long time.
And,
so,
man,
now they got the Wild, which have a shot, and the T-Wolves, which they're gritty, man. I like this T-Wolves team.
I am never going to be able to watch another T-Wolves game and see Chris Finch without thinking that
Dumb
he looks
Dumber.
Exactly like Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, I mean, he does.
He really does. I had never thought about that.
Oh, yeah, he kind of laughs on the sideline. A lot of them guys are all serious. He's like, but those guys respect him, and he's a good coach. I mean, New York, Detroit, I mean, New York probably comes out on this, but Detroit looked good last game.
They did.
I mean, those young fantasy players we know.
I know. I'm telling you. And, dude, what a great job with the draft and getting a couple veterans too. Those veterans are helping them out, dude. And
quite frankly, if you've watched those two games, I mean, the Pistons have dominated.
Yeah.
I would say 80% of those two games they've dominated. Yeah. Now, the Knicks had that 21-0 run in game one that allowed them to come back and win. But last night, they were, like, I thought it was clear, at least to me, last night. And I know the NBA is fluid. It's organic game to game. But Detroit looked like such a better team to me.
I agree.
Over these first two games. And I think they go to Detroit and win the next two.
And what is number 55's name, the white dude for New York?
Oh,
well.
Oh, come on.
It's not the, because the one guy got traded that used to wear 55, I think. He's playing somewhere else. But I can't think of his name, but I couldn't help but think about Philip Seymour Hoffman. Let it rain! I mean, yeah. You see how many shots that dude missed?
Yeah.
I'm not going to pronounce this right. Ariel Porty?
Yeah, I could.
Okay.
That's who he's talking about.
He was missing some shots, man.
But
I mean,
Durin and all those guys are playing so big for the Pistons, man. That is a fun little series. They can't stop Brunson, but not many people can.
And this is probably just my anti. You know, I had a few years.
Yeah, he hates the Knicks.
No, I had a few years where I didn't hate the Knicks when Woodson was coaching there. But man, Brunson flops like I mean, he flops like a World Cup soccer player.
And he's a tough guy. That's
he
the thing.
Is, and there's he doesn't need to do it.
Right,
that's
right.
What's so frustrating right. About it.
Yeah,
and,
he's a stout
and boy,
dude.
And at MSG in the playoffs, he gets all. I mean, I don't blame him because he gets all those calls, but some of them were so egregious,
mm-hmm.
where he would just like trip over his own feet and then throw his arms into whoever was guarding him, and fly back, and he would get the call. But that's just a little side note. I hope the Pistons win that series. I would find it hilarious.
On a serious note, you never got back with me when we text. You probably didn't find out, but have you noticed Isaiah on NBA TV the way his mouth is and stuff? He looks like he had a small stroke or something.
I watched,
and I don't think there are such things as small strokes. I mean,
there are what TIAs, I believe.
But he's
called.
Like kind of got a little Eddie Money and stuff now.
I actually. That night that you texted me, I flipped over to watch him, and he certainly had a different, like, timbre to his voice.
He
and
talks
his,
out of the side of his
yeah,
mouth.
And he used to be all confident and everything and stuff,
right,
you know?
He has great teeth, always has.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Great smile.
But that you brought that up, and there was definitely, at least on that particular night, I don't watch a lot of the pre-game, post-game, all I don't really
well,
watch
I,
that stuff.
As the years have gone on, I've enjoyed listening to Isaiah talk about the game and stuff. I think he's more humble. I think he's
he
still got mad about some things, but
he's always been pretty good on television. If it's not something that he's personally involved in,
yeah,
you know what I mean. If he's just talking about other stuff, teams that he doesn't have anything
to
do with there.
Yeah, maybe he had a couple teeth pulled.
No, it's been like that for a minute.
But I did notice that he certainly had something different going on.
And have you guys been watching the Celtics series on HBO?
I have not watched any of that yet.
It's pretty good. I won't give too like spoiler alerts and everything, but have you been watching it, Fred?
No, I've been watching Tuna's jockey show that came on last
night. On Netflix.
Night. It's freaking awesome. But no, I have seen the Celtics thing. I've heard great things about it.
I'm a documentary guy. There aren't many things that I've missed. But the great thing about documentaries, as the years go on, the production gets better.
Mm-hmm.
More people get involved because they see that it's cool. And more stories come out.
True.
You know, there's actually one on YouTube called 1986 Celtics Championship Season, but they had the rights to all the interviews and the games and stuff. A lot of stuff I learned on there for free without having Max. But
you know what they're doing now is like a documentary will come out, and if it gets so much attention, they'll release a second one with more stories on that you
right,
know.
Right.
And it's where you get kind of like a behind the scenes of some of the stories told in the first one, and more people come on and explain their side. It's really kind of neat.
Yeah, I've been watching. There's a show called Hollywood Demons. And it's pretty interesting, but they got one about the Von Erich family.
Yeah.
About, you know, the Iron Claw and everything.
That's a little too sad for me, man. Yeah. I can't get into some of those tear jerkers like that, dude.
Let's turn away from – we can talk about that at the end of the show. Let's get back into the basketball.
I hear you, Doc.
Because
– we can talk about TV 4 hours.
I want to know – I mean, and poor Tuna – his Grizz are...
what are you talking about?
They're a rudderless ship at this point.
We got them right where we want them, dude.
We were talking about it outside before we came on the air. That game one was something with which... I mean, I'm not sure I've ever
seen... Look at the improvement from game one to game two.
And
game three, we may only lose by six.
There's a... You gotta have a goal.
Yeah.
You gotta have a goal.
Yeah.
Like
I said, man, it's the art of war, dude. Have your opponent underestimate you.
I was curious how you felt about the first two games in the Lakers T-Wolves series, since Freddie's wearing his T-Wolves jersey tonight.
I love these T-Wolves. And like I said, you know, all jokes aside about the coach, those guys love playing for him. And you know, the thing about the Lakers, it's always drama. You know, sometimes, you know, it's always drama. J.J. Redick's getting mad at the team, cussing. You've seen them little things where he's, you know.
That's his first playoff series, man. Yeah. He's learning on the fly.
Yes, he is.
And I'm not even giving him a hard time or anything. I guess he was kind of handpicked by LeBron, you know. LeBron.
Well, the last five coaches there have been handpicked by LeBron.
He's actually done a really good job, right? Like, I think he was, like, highly respected by a lot of players across the NBA.
But it's tough because, I mean, you look at something like – I'm going to go back to that series, but, you know, the Houston series with Golden State, that's a 2-7 series, but Houston doesn't look like they was ready, you know?
Yeah, I really wish Memphis would have beat – Golden State like in that play-in game, and we could have got that 7 spot.
And I said it on the podcast last week, that was an enormous game because I thought if Golden State played Houston, they had a really good opportunity to win that series.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing in the first game showed me that I was incorrect about that.
I want to give but I love the way you guys have found a spot and let him do his thing for the big Purdue guy, because I don't think he could have went to any franchise and be a lumberjack the way he is. But then again, can you imagine trying to go through a screen on that dude, man?
Yeah, the progression of him. And I don't know how it's going to be going forward. Zach
Edey.
With Taylor Jenkins getting canned, I don't know how they're going to use him going forward, because we're going to bring in a new coach next year with a new philosophy, and I don't know what it's going to be.
Right, not everybody's going to – but y'all were able to really use him this year.
I thought Taylor Jenkins did a great job with him. I don't know what he did to get fired.
Why did that go down the way?
That's what I'm asking. I don't understand. I've heard several different things, and I don't know if any of them are true. Like, a lot of it, I think, has been with his relationship with Ja. Like, I don't know if that's there. Which, you know, the superstar gets the go ahead over the coach in the NBA, like, nonstop. So,
but Edey, and we talked about it after this college season last year, that I didn't think that in the modern NBA game there was really a place for him to be to be more than just like I thought he could play in the league for a long time, but I didn't think he would be like a really, really good player, because I just didn't think there was a spot for him.
Well, they do a good job with getting him and Aldama kind of rotating them in and out.
And the style of play that they play, he's perfect for that. And to your point, I'm curious if the new coach and if they come in with a whole new system, how that's going to work with him. Because he's been really kind of a revelation this last season in the way that he was able to play.
Well, y'all got a lot of time to talk about it because Minnesota's gone fishing.
You mean Memphis?
Memphis has gone fishing.
Well,
dude.
The Bass Pro Shop Pyramid is there in town. So yeah. I mean, it works.
You got
out
all summer to talk about.
Yeah, it's
they
over.
Done. D-O-N-E done.
You know, let's give credit to OKC though,
Jalen Wells went down with the broken wrist, I was like, this team, like, that's just, we needed him. Which is weird to say. You needed a second round pick to keep going, but it's the fact. He had a great rookie year.
Yeah.
But yeah, OKC just looks like, I mean, they're incredible. Like, they're now.
Well,
last
they've
night,
looked like
they
that all year. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
I don't know, man.
The teams like the Celtics, the Thunder are just insane. Are just going to dominate people. They're just dominating people.
But
they're just waiting.
And I'm going to say this, like, Oklahoma City does look great, but Memphis has been extraordinarily bad. You could tell that this guy's not coaching. They're turning the ball over. They're loose with everything. They're just giving Oklahoma City, like, every opportunity possible.
Yeah.
I hope they give the home crowd at least one win, though, man.
I don't know if that's going to happen. But
you know, sometimes when I watch Jackson play, I want would it,
that game
would,
one,
every,
he was
would every
bad.
Franchise let him play the way he does, just footloose and fancy free. He'll come down and just shoot a three, and he'll hit him. I'm not saying he.
What's everybody on the damn team?
He kind of looks awkward the way he runs and stuff and everything.
As of right now, I'm not sure they have really a system that they're running. They're just running up and down the court, taking the first open shot they get and not really concerned about playing any sort of defense.
I told Travis outside, it was like watching Louisville basketball the last 2 years with Kenny Payne. Like, you have no idea what they're trying to do.
Coach, Coach Payne used to call it alley ball.
I don't know what Coach Payne calls what, but, like, I don't
know. So what's going on with the Rockets game? Who's going to win tonight?
Do they have the offensive firepower to keep up?
This is the real series. This is a series, dude. This is going to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
I mean, is experience that much better? But Jimmy Butler, dude, just changed everything.
He did.
Dude. Everybody wants to get mad when they act the way they do and stuff to get out, and I get it. I'm not taking up for it. But, you know, what else was he going to do in Miami? It's fun for us as the fans to see him go somewhere else.
Right.
Don't you think?
It is.
And he's playing Jimmy Butler basketball, man.
Well, right. and I think he's really – I actually wrote this down the other night when I was watching the game. He's brought something to Golden State that they haven't had in several years, which is the ability – that if Kerr wants to play isolation offensive basketball, they can ISO Jimmy Butler. And they haven't had anybody could do that.
It's not the Run TMC team. It was those Baron Davis tough teams they had and stuff.
Yep.
You know, those were actually some pretty good teams.
And he's really just kind of morphed. And he's let everybody, the older stars, now can play a little bit, a role more than having to be the guy every night. They're a dangerous team,
yes,
and they're
going
to be a really tough team to beat four times in these playoffs.
So
the Rockets got all the weapons in the world, but until Jalen Green takes the balls by and starts doing something, it's time for him to have a 35-point game. He is the king of the team. He needs to step up because I know that, they've had these two playoff jitter games. It's time to crap or get off the pot with Houston. I mean, they need to do something here. They're a better seed than the Warriors. They dominated the West except for the Thunder and teams like that who they had tough games with. But let's be real. They dominated the West, and they ain't showing it right now. They need to win tonight. Tonight is a must win for Houston.
Well, we need to tell the security guards to actually let Akeem go in the locker room and get on the floor and inspire these guys.
So they wouldn't let him out there. Yeah. So Houston Cougars let him out there, but he acted like such
a gentleman, you know, but they're like, oh, I can't go. And it's like, dude, that's Akeem, dog.
The Houston Cougars, well, it was the NCAA wouldn't let him go out and celebrate with the Houston Cougars.
Wow.
Oh, you didn't see that?
I saw him sitting on the front row and thought, no, and then he tried to go out on the court,
and they wouldn't let him out because he didn't have the right lanyard on or whatever.
It's like the John Candy, sorry, folks, park's closed, you know. Wouldn't let him through. it was terrible, man.
Ike, anything else that's really stuck out to you through these first couple of games?
No, I think we covered – well, we haven't talked about, you know, the Denver – Clipper series. I mean,
or the Cavs Heat.
Yeah,
is there much to talk about in Cavs Heat?
No,
I don't think so. They're up 17 right now.
Yeah,
Well, the Denver. It's interesting because obviously they lost their coach. I don't care what anybody says, man. I love watching the Joker. I mean, it's kind of a cliche. Oh, really? Everybody, you know, but I don't think everybody really does. Did y'all see him get that steal out at the top of the key the other night in the crunch? Two guards were, and he just kind of picked their pocket. Well, then he had the lumberjack and dribble the length of the court.
Yeah, I did see that play.
And he's amazing, man. And it
looks like he's going so slow, but he's just ahead of everybody. He moves. So he knows how to read
how the
bodies are going to go and positions himself just right to go in between it.
Yeah, and think how far it is to dribble at each time. Big and tall. But, you know, we know the Clippers aren't ever going to do anything or whatever, but they still do have firepower, man. I mean, but, you know, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, I mean, we're just kind of like, you know, but I'd like to see it go.
Kawhi had a big night. I mean, that's if you can get
the Clippers can win the West. I'm gonna tell you, they can play the. I mean,
but do you trust the Clippers to win the West though? That's the thing. You know,
I trust them to go through this round.
You trust them to beat Denver?
I do.
See, I don't think they will, but I don't. They should beat them. Denver, what they've been through and stuff, but. Man, what about
new owner, new arena, new logo, new team?
Harden's playing good. You got to give him credit too. He's playing good.
He has trouble on the defensive end and stuff and everything, but he makes up for it on the offensive end.
That may be the second greatest understatement in the history of this podcast.
Try
he has
nice.
Trouble on the defensive end. My God, he hasn't guarded anybody in 5 years.
But it's hard to get through him. If he can get his body kind of in the front, you know.
But our boy Big Norman, I like him, dude. He's a good addition to that team. I mean, he can get 20 points for
What about, how do you say his name? The Braun for Denver?
Brown. They call him Brown.
It's Brown.
Yeah. Brown.
Christian my ex-wife's
Brown.
Name was right. Braun, spelled the same way.
He's a stat stuffer.
Depends on what part of Maine you're from.
He is a stat stuffer for the Nuggets. So, it's going to be a great series. I think that's another great series. I think the Golden State series and the Nuggets series.
And Aaron Gordon, man. I mean, he was, you know, he was getting it done fantasy-wise down in Orlando. But, man, he's become one of the best third options on a team there is, man.
Right.
You know?
So, I'll tell you the one thing I'd like to see, though, that would add a little juice to these playoffs is the Lakers and the Timberwolves play for the namesake of the Lakers. I think if Minnesota wins a series, they get the Lakers back. They're called the Minnesota Lakers.
Yeah,
and
then, okay.
I don't know. The Lakers can call themselves whatever the hell they want.
No lakes in Tinseltown.
Yeah. I mean, this ain't Echo Park, buddy. But I don't know. You got the land of 1,000 lakes. You got to bring that. You got to make them do it. So the Minnesota Lakers, we want that again.
Well, then what are we going to do about the Utah Jazz?
Yeah.
Well, I love that. I think like when I think of jazz music, I think of Utah. Well, so I think it's.
I was going to say. I think. I'm almost.
Tell New Orleans that.
I'm almost positive there are more lakes in Los Angeles than there is jazz in Utah.
Oof.
Right.
I think you can get arrested for jazz in Utah.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Maybe, yes.
But caffeine.
That's fun.
But we're just getting rolling in the NBA playoffs. Can't wait to see what this what these next week provides us, because as we were talking about outside before, Reggie Miller used to always say that playoff series don't start until the road team wins. Well, a lot of these series now, you've got the road team having won a game. Indiana goes to Milwaukee to play Friday and Sunday. I'm positive that Milwaukee's going to get one of those. But, boy, if the Pacers could get one, I mean, I think then that series – if the Pacers can split there,
and that's another great series going on. Yeah, I didn't mention that, but
Indiana like has pretty much dominated both games until the final 6 minutes of the game, and then the Bucks make that mad charge.
Right, but when you got the freak, when you're going against someone like the freak,
he starts going downhill and everything. It's
The thing,
and he's fired up for this next game.
It's clear that Indiana has said, "You can get your 30, but nobody else is going to beat us because they've kind of implemented the hack a freak strategy."
Because he's a nervous Nelly at the line.
Well, have you
seen... I do like watching the crowd mess with him on that.
Have you seen what the Pacers crowd has been doing when he gets to
the time clock?
Because he takes so long, they start going, 1, 2, 3. There was a guy last night that had the stopwatch that he was moving manually. Yeah. And, he's not comfortable at the line. He's shooting about... Well, he had a much better game from line yesterday, but... can't wait to see how the rest of the playoffs unfold. Ike, we'll certainly have you back here in a couple weeks as the playoffs move along.
Hell yeah.
But, Fred, we didn't spend much time on it last week. I know that the Derby field is now set. And
2 weeks away, dude.
Horses are now at
shipping
Churchill Downs are coming in. I see it on social media.
Tuna's been feeding them apples.
So why don't we get a yes. a Derby field breakdown from you 2 weeks out?
Crab
well,
apples.
One thing I was gonna talk about tonight before we really break it down next week is I wanted to give you. A couple Oaks horses to keep in mind. You know, the Oaks is also here, and it's a big day on Saturday. All the fillies run.
Friday.
All the fillies won on Friday. Wanted to give you a couple horses. I wanted to just go through a few. Good Cheer, Quiet Side, La Cara are some of the favorites in the Oaks. I know none of them tickle your fancy very much name-wise. Take Charge, M'lady, Tenma, Fondly, 5G, love that one. Ballerina, D'Oro, and Simply Joking. I wanted to give you my picks. I already got them, unless something happens.
It'll change six times
but I'm
before.
But I'm going with four horses that I'm really looking at hard for the Oaks, and I'll just leave it at that. Good Cheer, Simply Joking, and then I really like Baffert's Tenma, but 5G is my exotic long shot in there. I'm gonna go with those four horses. But one interesting thing with the Derby, I wasn't sure if anyone knew it. Owen Almighty was out, now he's back in. So Bilt was going to be in as one of the last choices. Now Owen Almighty's people have said, no, we want to be in the Derby. So this trainer's pulling his hair out.
But
they've been in and out
Bull,
twice.
You said, may scratch.
Well, Citizen Bull, rumor has it that he bled in the Santa Anita Derby a little bit, which happens to horses after a run. But
Seems healthy. I'm
not sure. I'm
happens
hearing,
to me if I think about running.
I mean, I'm hearing that he's actually training well. Rumor had it that some of the other horses of Baffert shipped in and he didn't. We're just trying to keep an eye on that one. But, yeah, all 20 horses are in. And I was just going to say that this year's Derby, if you look back since 2013, the points era, that's when the points era started. Mm-hmm. Five closers won the Derby, and seven were front runners. So it's a pretty even keel type. If you start looking at trends,
yeah,
a lot of the trends are fairly have really fairly worked each other out.
I love trends.
Now lately, you have Rich Strike, Mage, Mystic Dan all closing to win the Derby. Mystic Dan and Mage were mid closers. Rich Strike and Orb were far back closers. Mm-hmm. So was Sierra Leone. That was second last year.
Did Orb
year.
Actually win?
Orb did win. Yes, Orb.
Okay.
Yes,
which was the one that won, even though it didn't?
What do you mean?
Oh, Country.
Country House.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
A, boy, that, you, and, yeah, you got to put Country House in there, too. Mm-hmm. Came from the back. However, the two horses that were disqualified, Medina Spirit and Maximum Security, both were front runners right there in the front area.
They got disqualified for bumping.
Yeah.
Maximum
but
Security.
A lot of those horses that are front runners that have won the Derby are Baffert's. Mm-hmm. So Medina Spirit was one, even though disqualified. Authentic. So you look at a lot of the horses that actually came through justified for were Baffert horses.
Yeah.
Because every Baffert horse goes for the lead, period.
Well, I feel like that's kind of the point in a race.
Right. Well, some sit back and they have a closing
but
style.
But they go for the lead at some point.
Well, of course.
I feel like if you don't,
but I'm talking
you're not
about
a good horse.
Yeah, I'm talking about a pace setter that literally takes off.
A rabbit?
After it, yes. And then you have your stalkers and you have your mid-closers. Mm-hmm. I personally think a mid-closer is what I like lately in the Derby. There are two of them in this Derby this year that I have mapped out, looking at everyone and how they run and so forth. And that is the number two, one and two horses, ironically. Sovereignty is my number one now, and Journalism.
I'm curious to know what you are next week after you spend a couple days at the track. Because I know right now you got your horses,
right?
But next week when we do our show, it's going to be completely different.
Right. I've written down a lot of notes now and have the book
done. To say that's another understatement.
So I have found out if it is wet.
That's three huge understatements tonight.
If it is wet out there, Cold Battle is your taker.
Well, the weather forecast right now looks clear and sunny and in the high 60s.
Okay. That looks great.
Perfect.
Now the Oaks Day, on the other hand, might be a little rainy and sloppy.
Okay. Well, what I want people to look at when I get off
here,
I'm going to talk about three sectors real quick of the Derby. And you have your top three that have done everything. They've have a bunch of wins, a bunch of points. They are the top dogs. Sovereignty, Journalism, and in my opinion, Cold Battle is right there with him. He has the most wins in five. So you have those three sitting up top. They're going to be, Cold Battle will probably be higher odds, but those are your low odd horses. Then you have your horses in the next line.
That's what they call the West Virginia Marshall rivalry.
Buddy,
the Cold Battle.
We're
the
gonna,
battle for the lump of coal or something like that, yeah.
Lonnie Briley is in Louisville right now, Cold Battle's trainer. I highly recommend you start YouTubing him right now. He is the coolest thing you will ever
really
see at a Kentucky Derby.
That you use the phrase YouTubing somebody.
Yes.
I love that phrase.
Yeah, well, what am I supposed to say?
BHS in this guy.
Yeah, what are you supposed to say? What's the word?
Googling?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Start grokking this guy.
Yeah. He Baffert walked up to him and yelled his name out couple days ago out on the backside, yelling his name. He turns around. He's like, who the hell's yelling my name? And it's Bob Baffert. He turns around. He goes, and it's Bob Baffert. And he walked up to him and said, "Buddy, I'm so happy for you, blah, blah, blah," which I think Bob Baffert is a great human, a nice guy. Mm-hmm. I know that for a fact. A lot of people think he's pompous. I'm talking about away from what he does, and he's been in the headlines for a lot of things. I've met him a few times. He's a super nice guy, and will go out of his way. So he talks to Lonnie Brawley, and he says, Lonnie Brawley's like, what hole you think I ought to take for my horse? You know, that's how this guy is. He's like, "Well, I don't know. I can't give you the good ones, but I can tell you the bad ones." Long story short, it's out there right now floating around. You should listen to it. It's hilarious. Okay. But the odds on my next round here, I've got three tiers.
Oh, God.
No more interruptions. I got three tiers, okay? I got these are my six horses that won.
Uh-huh.
Okay? They've all won their last, and they are improving. Tiztastic, Sandman, Lexor Cafe, Rodriguez, Tapon Street, and Burnham Square. All right, that is your next tier of horses that have all come off a win. And then you have your horses that are improving that are kind of green that you need to look out for, especially for exotics. Grande, a Pletcher horse, Chunk of Gold, Final Gambit is getting a lot of buzz right now. A Brian Cox horse that's not to Pond Street, so it's his secondary horse. East Avenue. Those horses are horses that have like three runs that they've had, three races, some maybe two, and they have been in the money and they are surging upward that you need to start looking at. And then I have two horses that have a major question mark by them that I have no idea what's going on and what to do with them. And you can throw Publisher in there too. Owen Almighty and Citizen Bull. I guess I'll end with this. Citizen Bull, I'm hearing things good, bad, everything. But all I know is that horse was the best horse all year long. He won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He's beaten a lot of these horses. He had a bad run his last out in Santa Anita. And it was after a long layoff. And all I can say is it's going to be hard not to bet that horse at 15-1 in the Derby. And just with him just sitting there. So just kind of look at those tier of horses. And next week we're going to, you know, really start talking about who we're going to take.
Yep, that'll be our Super Derby breakdown. Want to remind everybody that we are on social media, and if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend. That helps us a lot. Since we are in the downstairs pub around the bar, and I am your de facto bartender tonight, I'm going to go ahead and call last call. And Tuna, tonight, last call falls to you first.
I got about 30 things, but I'm going to go quick here.
And, do them for me. Do some for me.
And I'm going to break them down for, there's two things. One, real quick, there was, Louisville played a series against Clemson this weekend in baseball. And I don't know if this is something Clemson's been doing for a long time, but if you ever watch a Clemson game, in the middle of the fourth inning, all the players come out of the dugout, go up into the stands and shake a veteran's hand. And it's just kind of like a really cool little thing to watch. It was kind of a big ordeal down there. And I don't know. I really liked seeing that.
That's neat.
Yeah. And second, this is a big one, man. You know, we're a big Leeds football club podcast.
Yes.
Damn right we are,
We have listeners in Leeds.
We do.
Leeds is now a member of the Premier League.
Whoa, yeah, where buddy. Do I get my jersey?
They got Red Bull logos on them.
Who was our listener? Eric?
Steven.
Steven in Leeds, this is for you, buddy. Congrats, man. And We also found
out. He's probably been blacked out for like 6 days.
Oh, yeah. There's like, yeah. I mean, the whole city of Leeds or town of Leeds, whatever it is, township, I don't know. It's probably that it's all been shut down. I don't know what you do when something like that happens. But,
oh, my God. Yeah, you shut the whole town down. I mean, nobody works.
It's just insanity.
Start building a stadium.
Yeah.
A bigger one.
And I guess we found out that local boy Justin Thomas and his good friend Jordan Spieth are in the ownership group,
which
with
is super cool.
Leeds,
which and we didn't know.
Yeah.
So now we even have more of a connection.
They're expected to make an extra, not those two, but the ownership group together, brings in like an extra $180 million a year in revenue.
Unbelievable.
From being brought up there.
Well done, Leeds.
So how cool is that? And also the other team to get promoted, I think it was Burnley. Which J.J. Watt is part of the ownership group of.
That's right.
So congrats to all those guys, man.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe one day Peru can win the World Cup, Tuna.
We don't need to win the World Cup to know that we're the best. Okay. Like, that's just something that goes on. And, like, we don't need that kind of, you know. We're not trying to show off.
No.
Right.
No, they're just, they respect football for the game that it is.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're not there for the accolades.
Freddie, last call.
Tuna got all mine. Long week for me. You guys crushed it.
I have one quick thing to say. This is some breaking news that I just saw while we were, and it's of the sad variety.
Damn it, it always is.
We have lost a not only a NFL Hall of Famer, but one of the great characters in the history of the NFL, Steve Mongo McMichael, has passed away. He's been battling
Chicago Bear.
He's been battling ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, for the last several years. Anyone of a certain age, Fred and I for sure, that remember the 85 Bears and the Super Bowl shuffle and that whole team. And then what I always think about with Mongo is that after he got out of football, he joined the wild and wacky world of professional wrestling.
Oh.
And he is certainly the only NFL Hall of Famer that can claim that he is a Super Bowl champion, an NFL Hall of Famer, and a member of the Four Horsemen. Mm. So, Mongo, thank you for not just your football career, the character that you were, what you meant to sports and pop culture in general. You will certainly be missed, and your bravery in fighting your battle until the end will not be forgotten.
Where did our NBA analyst go?
He had to split.
Oh.
So,
dang, it didn't even wave goodbye.
What the hell?
Well, I mean, look, if you've known...
I thought he was up there dropping a deuce.
If you've known Ike for a long time...
The plumbing's right above my head.
If you've known Ike like we have for a long time, Ike is one of the singularly talented people that I've ever known of
dipping
and out,
diving.
Of
slipping
out. I tell
you out. What, I'd give him some competition.
Well, you do well
you know
with
what?
That
you
as
are,
well.
Yeah, you all are both.
But he did mention on his way out that he had a great time, and to tell you guys, you know, thanks for the invite.
Probably upset that you wouldn't let him talk about TV shows anymore.
This show has already gone on.
God dang, we talked about Memphis for 20 minutes.
This show's
and
gone
they're
on.
Done. Yeah. Done.
Yeah. For an hour and 30 minutes, and that's about the time stamp.
Great NBA tidbits by Ike, though.
Yeah, he's always awesome when he gets
on there. And I told him that we'd have him back in a couple weeks. Can't wait to see what happens this weekend. We will be back next week with more NBA talk, a recap of the NFL draft, and a breakdown of the Kentucky Derby to come. So, thanks again for Mr. Eric Eichenberger, the fabulous NBA Ike, for he, the big fella, the Tuna, Country Matt Kemp, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders. This is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.